Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Nobody likes to fail, but that's exactly what's happening for South Dakota high schools when it comes to personal finance education. John Pelletier is director of the Champlin College Center for Financial Literacy. South Dakota high schools have received an F on the 2017 report card on state efforts to improve financial literacy in high schools. He joins us now from Vermont. John Pelletier, welcome back to In the Moment.
Thank you for having me.
Now, last year around this time, we were talking about the state getting a B+ on adult financial literacy. This is measuring something different, I take it.
Yeah, it's measuring something totally differently. The measurement that we did the last time with the B+ was a measurement of some knowledge, limited knowledge questions of which this is one data point, and there were 59 data points. And the rest were what I would call actual adult behaviors, as well as some adult knowledge statistics that are created into a variety of different grades. So, and that South Dakota did fairly well on a relative basis compared to the other states. This is really very, very narrow, and it's really just asking the following question: from a public policy standpoint, what is required in South Dakota that students know about personal finance before they graduate from high school? And in South Dakota, it's possible to graduate from high school without taking any personal finance education. And South Dakota is really incredibly unique among the great F states. So there, you know, you're not alone. There are 11 other states that got an F. And to get an F, basically, if students are able to graduate without ever having the opportunity to take a course which includes personal finance in high school, they get an F. But you do something very unique. You have a requirement in your graduation requirement standards that a student must take a half-year course in either personal finance or economics. So it's hard for me to know what percent of schools are high schools are offering a personal finance course, what percent of students are taking that over the economics course. So clearly we know some probably very significant portion of high school students in South Dakota are exposed to personal finance concepts before they graduate, which is frankly better than a lot of other F states, much better.
So do I understand it correctly to say that every school district in the state then would have to offer either economics or personal finance, or do they have to?
No, that isn't my reading of the language in the requirement at all.
Okay.
It's that a student must take. So you could conceivably have a high school that's decided to meet this graduation requirement only by offering a mandatory economics course.
Okay.
Or it's conceivable the opposite, right? That there could be a high school that meets it by requiring students just take a mandatory personal finance course. And I'm sure there are high schools in the middle that offer both. And
right.
It's up to the student and their parents to choose.
So my daughter goes to high school, and she is at one of the schools that has a choice. It's one or the other. She can take macroeconomics, advanced placement macroeconomics, or she can take personal finance. And one of the discussions we have at home is what's best for college, not necessarily what's best for life. Are we having the wrong conversation there? Are we looking at it in the wrong way?
Yeah, you know, I think that's very common, and that's why I would like to see it a requirement that people be exposed to this, because I think that where it's not required, I think that's exactly the discussion that's happening in a lot of high schools. And frankly, you know, if you're trying to get into the best college that you can, you know, we know colleges want to see that you're taking courses that are pretty hard, right? Difficult. Mm-hmm. They want to see you doing well on a difficulty level of coursework. And certainly, you know, AP courses fit the bill. I don't think it's unusual for kids that are trying to get into really good colleges to be taking two AP courses a year in junior and senior year. And
right.
So I think you are having a conversation many people have. But economics, an AP economics course is not going to teach you about budgeting. It's not going to teach you what a credit score is and the behaviors you must have to get the best credit score. That could literally save you hundreds and thousands of dollars in interest that you pay over your lifetime. Because if you have a bad credit score, you're going to pay more interest on everything, credit cards, automobile loans and leases and mortgages. And so, you know, I think that financial literacy is probably going to lose out in the sort of discussion you're talking about, that people might say, gee, I want to get my son or daughter into the best college. And therefore, the economics course is probably better because it's an AP course.
Right. But I also want her to make smart decisions about those college loans and those credit cards she's going to get offered in college as well. So what's a fix for something like this? It's a public policy fix then?
Yeah, I think it is. And, you know, for South Dakota, you know, here's what other states have done is that other states have done is they have embedded it into economics, and a portion of economics is allocated toward this topic. There are five states that have said, you know what, we're just going to require it. You know, Utah is the best in class, only state that gets an A plus in this area, and they just require everyone who's going to graduate from high school take a half a year course. They require that there's a minimum level of training that all the educators have to teach this topic, that they actually know what they're teaching and have taken coursework that's related to what they're teaching and personal finance. So from a public policy standpoint, if you could make it a requirement but if you do, then that kind of impacts that AP economics course, right? Because that would be maybe an elective. And so that's really, it really comes down to, it truly is the ultimate public policy question. What do we think is more important from a high school graduation requirements? Do we believe that personal finance is so important that every student must have access to it in their junior and senior year, which is really where it should be, before they enter real life? Because if the thought is that this is happening in college, you're wrong. Hmm. And so let's start at, where are kids learning this? We know for a fact that many people aren't learning it at home. You know, there have been surveys done, some of them are a bit old now, where parents indicated they're as uncomfortable talking to their kids about sex as they are about money. and there have been other surveys. T. Rowe Price does a great survey they put out every year of parents and kids. And there's a disconnect between... parents don't think they're talking. Parents say, I don't talk to my kids that much about money. And kids, guess what? They recognize their parents don't talk to them much about money. And so we know they're not talking, that conversation's not going on. And so then the next question is, if we know it's not happening as well as it could be at the home front, and frankly, I think it's because many of the adults don't know what to teach because they don't know it themselves based on their own. Behaviors. If it's not happening at home, and it doesn't happen in the K-12 school system, then you know where is it happening? So I'll give you an example of by the way, your state does much better than the average nationally on this question. One of the questions in that adults report card, they asked adults, were you ever offered and did you participate in personal finance education in K-12 schooling? If you went somewhere, post-secondary degree education, so it could be college or some other certification program, were you offered it there, and did you take it, or in the workplace? And nationally, only one out of five say that they've done that, and this may be related to your high school graduation requirement. In South Dakota, that number is nearly 26%. But that's still basically one out of three out of every four people, about 75% of people in South Dakota who are adults have never had any formal training on this. So we know it's not happening in K-12 schools We know it's not happening in many K through 12 schools, in colleges, and in the workplace. And then the other thing is, you know, when a kid goes to college, talking about student loans, here's what they're required to do under federal student loan laws. They have to take a what's called the entrance counseling. And what they do is they'll send you to the federal student loan site, and you put in your personal ID and your social security number, and you go through this online course. And if you're getting federal student loans, most colleges will not distribute the money to the student until they meet this requirement. So it's usually right before they show up, or if for some reason they didn't do it, you know, literally in the first few days, you know, in that orientation period. And I've asked students here at our college, do you remember doing it? Many of them don't, and the reason is because mom and dad do it for Johnny and Jane, because mm-hmm. you know, it's right before they're leaving. It's a stressful time. So that's not to say some children don't do it on their own, some of the students on their own, but it's not viewed as a learning opportunity. It's kind of something I got to check off to get the money so I can go to college and move into the dorm room. And once you do that, the next time you have an educational intervention is senior year, right? Or when you're leaving, and they send you again to that same site. And the other thing they do is they send you a book telling you all the different ways of repaying your student loans in the mail to your last known non-campus address. And they don't even make you take it. And so let's just agree there's no education going on in most colleges on this. We do it here because we think it's important. We require students to take personal finance training as a graduation requirement, but that's very unusual. In most colleges, there's no training that's going on student loans or other personal finance topics. So it's not. Don't expect your kids to get this in school, in college rather. It's not going to happen there.
And you also say that wealthy communities are much more likely to have access to personal finance. Tell me more about that sort of disparity between the people who, you know, already know this information in some ways, passing it on, but others not.
Yeah, this was work. Actually, our 2015 report was used as the basis of some research by NextGen Personal Finance, which offers 100% free, great curriculum in this area, nextgenpersonalfinance.org, I believe. They even have a whole course that's available online for free. They did this study, and Tim Rossetti of Rensec Group and I have worked together on other projects, and we often had the following conversation, which is it's our intuition, it's our gut, that people who live in poor communities are less likely to get this education as a requirement, as a graduation requirement, than people who live in rich communities. Hmm. And so he actually did research on that topic. He looked at, I believe, 13,000 high schools and looked at the high school-specific graduation requirements. And basically what he found, not surprisingly, was that consistent with our view, that people who lived in rich communities, and a rich community being defined by a free and reduced lunch ratio, that the richer communities were much more likely to have a requirement when it wasn't mandated by the state to take a personal finance graduation requirement than a poor community. And so poor people were half as likely to have this requirement. So there's and here's what we know about personal finance knowledge, right, financial literacy. We know that you're more financially literate if your parents, if you come from if you're rich, or if your parents are rich, and you generally use a measurement of wealth as am I first gen? Am I a first generation to go to college or not? So college graduates are more financially literate than non-college graduates. Rich people tend to be more financially literate than poor people. We know that minorities tend to be less financially literate than Caucasians. And the last thing we know, which is kind of interesting, it's a bigger problem at older ages than it is in the younger age cohort, and that may be, you know, generational and the way people interacted. But we know that, generally speaking, women on actual financially literacy knowledge questions tend to do worse than men, that there's a gender gap. And that's a real problem because women have a longer life expectancy than men do. So they're going to live longer, and they're very well could end up being the sole head of a household at some point. And so they really need this as much as anybody else does. And so one way to make sure that occurs would be to make it a requirement.
Is there evidence or studies to indicate that students who receive this kind of financial literacy or personal finance education in high school have different outcomes than those who don't? Do we have data on that?
Yeah, there's a couple of studies. One we did and one another organization did. So the best study, and it's not the one we did, the best study, I think, was done I believe the Federal Reserve Board put up the money for the research. What they did is they said, look, you know, let's look at some states that recently required personal finance be taught. And let's look at the standards. They seem substantive. And the states were required that this be taught in an economics course. So it was part of, not 100% of, a one-semester course. And they said, you know, let's ignore the knowledge questions, like who's the third president of the United States. Let's see what we can do for behavior. So they reached out to one of the credit bureaus. I believe their partner was either TransUnion or Experian. And they said, we want to look at young people like 18 to 22, and we want to see what's their credit score and what's their default rate on loans and, you know, on credit. And we want to look at those before this new requirement took effect and a few years after it took effect for the, you know, whatever the senior class was, right? So so let's say it was this new requirement that people take this course was effective for the class of 2012. And so they looked at it, and what they found is in the years preceding the requirement versus after the requirement, they saw a positive increase in credit scores. Right, so credit scores rose, which is a good thing, right. And they saw a decrease in default rates. So then they said, well, wait a minute, how do we know that's just not the economy getting better?
Right.
So they looked at adjacent states who didn't require much and had no change over the relevant period as the control group, and they pulled the same data for that age cohort and saw no change. So that's pretty strong indication. We at Champlain College, we actually were one of the few places in the country that created a graduate level course, a graduate degree course for educators, high school educators, to learn how to teach this in the classroom. So it's a 3-college graduate level course. We followed a dozen of these teachers into their classroom, and we measured on a pre and post basis before kids started a course and took a 1-semester course. Their knowledge increase, and their knowledge did increase across the board. The average test scores went up pretty materially. And we added in their questions that are used in this big national survey that is done with 30,000 adults every 3 years. And there are 5 educational questions, what I would call personal finance knowledge questions. And these questions... to be high financial literate, you get 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 5 right, or an 80% or better. And the kids, after they took the class, they were scoring as well as people who were age 34 to 49. So that was like jumping 2 generations. Because remember, these were 16, 17, some 18-year-old kids. And so, and there are other studies I could point to. I believe it works. You know, but the one thing I always tell people is financial literacy just isn't a panacea. You can be financially literate and get 100% on a test on financial literacy and still have horrible financial literacy behaviors. People are told not to drink and drive. They do. People are told not to overeat, and you know they overeat and they gain weight and they don't exercise. We do a lot of things we shouldn't do, and so it's not a panacea. There's a behavioral aspect of this, and what we know is that people who are able to delay gratification are much better at financial literacy behaviorally than people who can't delay gratification. That's kind of, I don't know if you're familiar with the marshmallow test.
Yes, right.
The marshmallow test, you put a little kid in a room and you say, here's a marshmallow, we'll be back in 10 minutes. You can eat the marshmallow a lot now, but if you don't, we'll give you two marshmallows in 10 minutes. And, you know, these studies have followed these young kids who did this like 40 years ago at Stanford into their adult life. And the people who waited for the two marshmallows have done a lot better financially than the people who can't.
They're still ruining the day. They took that marshmallow. John Pelletier, is always a pleasure. Tell me, is it the Champlain or Champlain?
Champlain. So it's Champlain. It's named after Samuel de Champlain, who discovered this area of the country and discovered Lake Champlain.
I will get it right next time. Champlain College Center for Financial Literacy. We'll put some links up on our website. John, final parting words in just 30 seconds for parents as they listen to this. What should we do?
Don't be afraid to talk to your kids about personal finance topics. Tell them, tell the kids what's going on in your personal life. You know, parents are afraid, I think, to have the kids think less of them. The best thing you could do with your children is tell them some of your own personal finance mistakes, maybe some that are occurring right now, things that you regret. Help them learn. Don't make them do it the way you did by mistakes.
Thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it, John.
Okay. Take care.